सु पुरुषार्षभा पुरुषं तं विजानीमो वाक्य भेद विमोहिता न वयं क्लेश विजानी जातसु पुरुषार्षभा पुरुषं तं विजानीमो वाक्य भेद विमोहिता न वयं क्लेश विजानी जातसु पुरुषार्षभा पुरुषं तं विजानीमो वाक्य भेद विमोहिता न वयं क्लेश विजानी जातसु पुरुषार्षभा पुरुषं तं विजानीमो वाक्य भेद विमोहिता not vayam we klesha vijani the root cause of suffering jataha where from I'm sorry where from su it so happens purusha rishabha o greatest of all human beings Purusham, the person, tam, that, bijanima, know, bhakabheda, difference of opinion, bimohita, bewildered by. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. Who is translating? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are many theoretical philosophers in the world who put forward their own theories of cause and effect, especially about the cause of suffering and its effects on different living beings. Generally, there are six great philosophers: Konad, the author of Vaisheshika philosophy; Gautama, the author of logic; Patanjali, the author of mystic yoga; Kapila, the author of Shankha philosophy; Jaimini, the author of Karma Mimamsa; and Vasudeva, the author of Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta Darshan. Although the bull, or the personality of religion, and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their suffering, still, as devotees of the Lord, they knew well also that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. According to the Padma Purana, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually fade away by execution of pure devotional service. Thus, even if the devotees see mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for the sufferings inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses, for otherwise the suffering should have been greater. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get a statement of accusation against the direct mischief monger, but they declined to give it on the above mentioned grounds. Speculative philosophers, however, do not recognize the sanction of the Lord. They try to find out the cause of sufferings in their own way, as will be described in the following verses. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, such speculators are themselves bewildered, and thus they cannot know that the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord. Repeating the translation, O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. So, when Parikshit Maharaj saw that the cow and the bull were suffering, then he asked them, who actually caused you this suffering? And then the bull, Dharma, replied, and in the previous shloka, Dharma said, the personality of religion said, these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. Parikshit Maharaj was the grandson of Arjuna. He was the son of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was the son of Arjuna and Subhadra, Krishna's sister. And this way he came from a very great lineage, from a very great family line. Actually, their ancestors were the greatest of all people. And Dharma, the bull, is saying that they were so great that being attracted by their devotion, Krishna became their servant. Krishna became their messenger. Krishna also became Arjuna's charioteer. So this is how the Lord reciprocates the devotion of his devotees. So, and in this verse, he's admitting that he does not really know who is the cause of their suffering. And very humbly they stated that there are many philosophers come out with very many philosophical theories, but we actually do not know for sure what is the cause of our suffering. And explaining that point, explaining that statement of the Dharma bull, Prabhupada is saying that actually it's not that Dharma didn't know who was the cause of his suffering, but he declined to admit or declined to point out to any particular person because he knew that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. So if somebody enjoys or suffers, he realizes that actually it has been sanctioned by Krishna himself. He looks at it from two different perspectives, two different angles of vision. One is he considers that everything is the cause of his past sinful activities or pious activities. When he suffers, he knows that is the reaction of his past sinful activities. And when he enjoys, he knows also that is the cause of his past pious activities. So this way, living entities enjoy and suffer due to their piety and sins in this material nature. So this is one angle of vision. The other angle of vision is a devotee always considers that everything ultimately has been sanctioned by the Lord. And when he enjoys, he tries to become unattached or unaffected by that enjoyment. And when he suffers, then also he tries to remain detached from the suffering, thinking that this suffering is not going to last forever. And also he considers that actually I should have suffered much more. But because I have taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my suffering has been reduced to a considerable extent. So when he gets a little cut in his hand or in his body, he feels or he realizes that actually he was supposed to have been dead. But because he has become a devotee of the Lord, the karma, the karmic reaction has been neutralized by the mercy of the Lord, and just it had a little effect on his body. He got a little cut. But actually he should have been, it could have been much worse, or it should have been much worse. So that is how a devotee always has a very, very positive attitude. Whereas the karmis always have a very negative attitude. They always think that, why am I suffering? Why am I suffering? Why did I cut my finger? Or why something happened to me? So that is the outlook of a karmi. Because the karmis always want to enjoy in the material nature, they cannot tolerate the slightest bit of suffering. Whereas a devotee, because he is aware of the fact that this material nature is a place for suffering, he accepts his suffering in the course of his life. He never tries to neutralize or mitigate his sufferings. He knows that as long as he is in the material nature, he will have to suffer. So he simply surrenders to that suffering as the will of the Lord. He considers that I am here due to my heaps of sinful activities. I have fallen in this miserable material existence. And here I am destined to suffer. The way a prisoner, when he is put into the prison, he knows that he has to suffer in the prison. No one but a fool will go to the prison house with a desire to enjoy. Does anybody ever go to the prison house to enjoy? So if somebody in the prison house tries to make some arrangements for enjoyment, then it has to be understood that he is a fool. So this material nature also is like a prison house. And anybody who is here in this material nature is a prisoner. And he is destined to suffer. And those who think that they are going to enjoy in this material nature, they are actually the greatest fools. But an intelligent person will accept the suffering. I am here to suffer, so let me go through the suffering and learn the lesson. Why am I suffering? And then ultimately he realizes that he is suffering because he has defied the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme King. He has defied the laws of Krishna. That's why he is put into this miserable condition. So whenever he receives some suffering, then he immediately realizes that, oh, I must have done so many bad things in the past, so it is natural that I'll be suffering. So now let me realize the consequences of wrongdoings, the consequences of disobeying Krishna. So more he suffers, the more he becomes surrendered to Krishna. Whenever some pain is inflicted on him, he realizes that nature or Mahamaya is punishing me because I have forgotten Krishna. So let me remember Krishna. So actually for a devotee, suffering acts in a positive way. He considers the suffering is a reminder to become Krishna conscious. So for a devotee, that's why a devotee, even in the material nature, is situated in a very, very nice way. For him, sufferings are not miserable. But for him, sufferings are actually wonderful. That's why devotees invite suffering. My Lord, give me more and more suffering. I do not want enjoyment. Why should I be bewildered to enjoy in this material nature? Because this material nature is not a place for enjoyment. I cannot possibly enjoy in this material nature. So why should I try to enjoy? So let me invite suffering when it comes naturally. Actually, we can see that how easily we can receive pain. We can consider, take any part of our body, and we can consider in how many different ways we can inflict pain on that part of the body. Take, for instance, take a little finger, the little finger of your left hand, the most insignificant part of your body. And you consider how many different ways you can inflict pain on this little finger of your left hand. You take a knife and cut it. How will you feel? Will you enjoy? You'll suffer, you'll get pain. You take a stone and smash it. How will you feel? You'll feel pain. You take some fire and burn it. How will you feel? You'll feel pain. So in so many different ways you can inflict pain on this little finger of your left hand. Now you consider in how many different ways you can give pleasure to your finger. Can you think of giving pleasure to your little finger? Only a fool will think of some means of giving pleasure. And that principle actually applies to every single part of our body. Every single part of our body. And so what does it actually mean? It means that this body is a wonderful machine to receive pain. This body is a wonderful instrument to receive pain. So we must admit that fact, or we must become aware of that fact, that this body is meant for receiving pain. Nature has given us this body to receive pain. So ultimately we have to be prepared for that. We are going to suffer as long as we are in this body. And we are placed in a nature, we are placed in a place called Mrityu Loka or Martha Loka. Martha Loka means a region of death. In this nature, in the material nature, everyone is susceptible to death. Any moment death can come. Yesterday I just heard that one of our devotees died in Austria. Now, even day before yesterday, or day before he died, no one knew that he was going to die. Even 5 minutes before, he was not aware that he was going to die. He was driving a car and he just had an accident and he's dead. And death can come to any one of us at any moment. And death is the ultimate pain. The ultimate painful situation is death. We won't be able to breathe. We'll be gasping for air. We can at least imagine how painful death is. Try to choke yourself for a minute. Stop taking breath for a minute. If somebody just blocks your nose and mouth for 1 minute, how will you feel? I mean, you'll be gasping for air. Like, we need air to be alive. And at the time of death, we won't be able to breathe. So how painful it is going to be. Now you consider, somebody comes and strangles you. Somebody strangles you. How does it feel? You feel terribly painful. And at the time of death, that naturally happens, like your throat gets choked. Prano prayana samayi kapho bato pitto kanthavo rodhana vidho smaranam kutaste. At the time of death, the mucus, air and bile, kapho bato pitto kanthavo rodhana vidho, they will choke my contour, throat. So it's it's a feeling like being strangled. So pain, death is actually very, very painful. And that's the ultimate pain that we receive in this body. And even if a person is sinful, then he receives pain even after death. Not that when the soul leaves the body, then everything is over. No. Actually, then another phase begins. The Jamadutas come to reclaim the sinful people. And a person doesn't want to usually leave his body. The materially attached people, they don't want to leave the body. At the time of death, they say, no, I don't want to die. I have so many things to do. Everyone feels, materially attached people always think that way. I have so much to do, how can I die now? And if we think, we also can feel that, we also realize that, we also feel that way. If we consider, how would I feel if I have to die right now? And often we think that, oh, I have so much to do, how can I die now? Let me get old. Let me grow old. And let me become at least 60 years. Why should I die now? I have so many things to do. But even when you become 60 years, then you feel that it's not time for you to die. What to talk about 60 years? Even if you become 100 years, you think that, no, I don't want to die, I have so much to do. Actually, all you want is not so much to do, but you think, I have so much to enjoy. I haven't enjoyed enough, so let me enjoy a little more. A person dying, needles are stuck all over his body. He is given oxygen, he can't even breathe. He has got cancer and all kinds of disease. Still he struggles to survive. That is mine. Whereas a devotee realizes that I should be ready to give up this body at any moment. Death may come at any moment. So whenever death comes, I have to remember Krishna. Now, it's not an easy job to remember Krishna at the time of death. So when we are alive, let us try to remember Krishna all the time. Let us depend on Krishna all the time. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let us become aware of Him. Let us know Him tattvataha, in reality. Let us get to know Krishna. And when you become aware of Krishna, then when the last moment comes, if we have practiced all our life to become Krishna conscious, then at the time of death, we will remember Krishna. We will remember Krishna. Or rather, we'll be able to remember. Krishna is merciful. Krishna wants us to go back to Him. Krishna wants to help us. Krishna is not cruel. The father is never cruel to his sons. And the father doesn't put unnecessary impediments on the way to the sons coming, returning back to home. Father does not put unnecessary obstacles on the path of his sons coming back home. On the other hand, the father makes it very easy. So Krishna always wants the living entity should go back to him. And Krishna actually made the journey back to Godhead very easy. In this age of Kali, when we became absolutely unqualified, completely unable, Krishna has given the easiest process. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, chanting His holy names. What can be more simple than that? And we can see that how the holy name, how potent the holy name is. Just by chanting, we are able to pursue spiritual life. It's not easy to pursue spiritual life in this age of Kali. And the Maya is so strong. Everywhere Maya is so strong in this age of Kali, and we all are so degraded in this age of Kali. But just because we are chanting, and just because we are associating with the devotees, we are able to pursue spiritual life. Usually it's not easy to pursue spiritual life. Like that's why in the past, the great sages used to go to all kinds of places. They used to hide away, they used to run away from Maya. They would go to the mountain caves up in the Himalayas. They would go to the deep, dense forests. They would even go into the depth of the ocean. They would run away from the influence of Maya. But we, although we are very weak in this age of Kali, when the time is very, very dangerous, Maya is so strong, and everybody is perpetually falling down, we are able to pursue spiritual life. What even the sages could not do. Sobhari Rishi is such a great sage that he went under the ocean in order to be undisturbed and continue his spiritual life. He just wanted to be away, far from the madding crowd, far from any material influence. In the depth of the ocean he was meditating. But even there he fell down. Whereas we can see that the devotees of ISKCON, they are right in the middle of the kingdom of Maya. The cities in the west, why in the west? Everywhere, the cities are actually the places of Maya, the favorite places of Maya. And although the devotees are going out, right in the middle of the cities, meeting with the people, but still, they are maintaining their spiritual life. They are not falling down. They are not affected by Maya. Why is that? Is it by accident? By chance? No. It is simply due to the potency of the holy names. Because we are chanting 16 rounds at least every day, that's why we are not. We are safe. That's why we are not falling down. And also we have the association of devotees which is giving us the support, which is protecting us, the association of the devotees. So that's why we can see that how mercifully Krishna has given us a perfect process for this age of Kali. The spiritual life that even the great sages could not pursue properly, though they were so great that they could stop breathing. What to talk about eating? They wouldn't eat, they wouldn't drink, and they would even stop breathing. Like when Sobhari Muni was under the ocean, obviously he was not breathing. Now how can one breathe under the ocean? He'll have to become a fish then. Obviously he was not a fish, he was a human being. So he was there under the ocean. So how did he manage to stay there? He stayed there because he stopped eating and drinking. And even breathing. So he stopped all the physical function, but still his spirit got agitated. Whereas the devotees, they are totally unaffected by the influence of Maya, in spite of being in the kingdom of Maya. Another thing to consider, the potency of the holy name, we can consider that sometimes we have nightmares. Actually, that takes place on the subtle plane. Actually, demoniac entities attack the living entities when they are asleep. It's a kind of a stage when he is not fully awake, not fully asleep. In that stage, the demoniac entities or the ghosts attack. And that's the time one gets the nightmare. But when you get a nightmare, what do? We simply chant Hare Krishna, and then what happens? Immediately the nightmare is over. So that is also a proof that after death, even if the Jamadutas come, if we just chant the holy name, the Jamadutas will run away from there. They won't be able to come. And then, as we chant the holy name, the Vishnu Dutas are patrolling around. Prabhupada actually gave the example, the way police in their cars are patrolling around the city, and whenever somebody is in danger, they call out and the police immediately comes to his rescue. The same way the Vishnu Devatas are patrolling around the universe. Everywhere they are there. And as soon as somebody calls out, Krishna, then immediately they come to help him. So actually, if we pursue this process of Krishna consciousness, we can go back to Godhead very, very easily. Prabhupada actually gave us the assurance. Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds every day, following the four regulative principles. And I guarantee you that you'll go back to Godhead at the end of this life. I mean, what a wonderful assurance. We simply have to chant 16 rounds a day, that takes only about 2 hours. And following the four regulative principles, even a gentleman should follow the four regulative principles. What to talk about a devotee. Now that we have become sadhus, we must follow the four regulative principles. And then associate with the devotees in ISKCON. And that's a very important instruction that Prabhupada gave. No matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. And it's a very, very important instruction. Because if we are in ISKCON, then we'll naturally follow the four regulative principles and we'll naturally chant 16 rounds every day. And then, when death comes, we'll go back to Godhead. such a wonderful benediction that we have received from Srila Prabhupada. So now we must take full advantage. Another thing to consider, like, why it is so important to remain in ISKCON. First of all, when we are in the association of devotees, we'll naturally become spiritually inclined. We'll be forced to become spiritually fixed up when we are in the association of devotees. And then, we are constantly having all kinds of benefits of spiritual life, being in the association of devotees. Being in ISKCON. We are getting Krishna prasad. We do not have to make separate endeavors of cooking and then offering. Just by natural course, at certain times of the day, the prasadam is there and we simply have to honor it. And just by honoring prasad, we get purified. Then we are forced to follow the regulative principles. Because if we get affected by Maya, then other devotees will immediately point out, the Prabhu, what is wrong with you? You should not indulge in this Maya. And if we are not so puffed up, then we'll listen to them. Actually, we should not be puffed up when some devotees give us some advice. We must understand that actually Krishna speaks through the mouth of devotees. And so we should be always ready to accept the criticism from devotees. We should understand that Krishna is actually helping us to rectify some defects in us. And Prabhupada was such a wonderful example for that. Prabhupada would take advice even from a non-devotee. I mean, what to talk about devotees, Prabhupada would even ask the non-devotees, so what do you think we should do? So many times we have seen that. I just remembered one incident that's very, very significant. Prabhupada was in Amsterdam and Prabhupada was performing a sacrifice for, he was giving initiation and he was performing a fire sacrifice. But when Prabhupada came, he found, there was early days, Prabhupada found that nothing has been arranged properly. Nothing has been arranged properly. There's no flowers. The woods were not dry enough and there was no fruit. So Prabhupada got very, very disturbed and Prabhupada started chastising everybody. And then somebody said, no, we have the fruits. And so when they asked him to ask some bhaktin to bring the fruits, she made a fruit salad. And Prabhupada got very, very angry and Prabhupada started chastising her. And she took it very lightly and she started giggling, and Prabhupada got even more disturbed. So everything was chaotic. So there was a man who stayed in the temple for some time in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is full of hippies. At least those days it was. Even today it's full of hippies or freaks. So this man, I mean, many people used to come and go. So this man stayed in the temple for some time. And when he was in the temple, he heard that whenever somebody got a little agitated, he was told, why don't you chant Hare? Just chant Hare Krishna. So he learned that. That whenever somebody is disturbed, he should chant Hare Krishna. So he walked up to Prabhupada and said, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? So he said, chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada looked at him and he picked up his bead bag and he started to chant. So Prabhupada was so humble that he would take some advice from a hippie who didn't have any understanding of spiritual life. Because Prabhupada didn't think that it was coming from him. Prabhupada saw that it was coming from Krishna. So we should be open, no matter whoever we are. We should take advice from the devotees. If a devotee says that, look, something is wrong with you, we must accept, yes, something is wrong with me, so let me rectify. And if we do that, then we'll be perfectly situated. Because devotees are not envious. They are not fault finders. When they say something wrong, something must be wrong with me, that's why they're pointing it out to me. And then ultimately when the time comes to die, then devotees will be chanting Hare Krishna. And they'll play Prabhupada's tapes. They'll give us Charanamrita, when you're going to leave our body. And so thus, in the association of devotees, we'll be forced to remember Krishna at the time of death. So it's such a wonderful benediction to be in the association of devotees. So that's why for a devotee, Maya cannot come. Devotee is protected by Krishna's Sudarshan. Sudarshan Chakra actually guards the devotees from unwanted or unwanted influences. So if we just remain Krishna conscious, Krishna's Sudarshan will guard us, protect us. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? No question? Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.